Welcome to the Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, the Wolf Brothers. I'm here with my brungus, Jack. Yeah. And we are here in studio recording for the first time in a long time. We apologize for the delay. Life got crazy, and it's time for us to rebuild.
Yes, we had a couple episodes that we recorded, but due to technical difficulties, we were not able to release them, and we lost them. But like the Timber Puppies, we will rebuild and become even stronger than before.
Speaking of rebuilding, it is a new season.
It's an Ingram, but I wanted Dragon Bender, and then Phoenix drafted him. Dragon Bender, I was obsessed with. In the spring, I made him the background of my iPad because I thought he was amazing, and I wanted him so bad, and the future of Bender and Towns together would have been life-changing. But after he didn't get it, I wanted Murray, and then Dunn.
So, basically, you wanted Darko 2.0. Okay. Who was a European bust, super hyped just because Kristaps Porzingis was a prodigy child. And now you're obsessed with anybody European who thinks they're good.
You like Dragon Bender too, after a while.
I like Dragon Bender, but I still think he might be a bust. I think his bust potential is a lot higher than Chris Dunn. We know Chris Dunn's good. Summer League, taking people's lunch money.
Eight fouls a game.
Everybody fouls out in Summer League. There's no foul limit. So if you're not going to foul limit, of course we're going to foul more. He was stealing the ball from every player. Nobody could dribble up the floor. Chris Dunn is a monster. He is a Tom Thibodeau perfect player. The guy can score at will in Summer League. He is a beast. And as we know, Summer League is a great determiner of franchise players.
Okay, this is ridiculous. Let's look at our history. Randy Foy absolutely destroyed in Summer League. Was unstoppable. He was trash.
He had injuries. He would have been great.
That's not true. And Karl Towns wasn't good in Summer League. His efficiency was 14. That's below average. And then he had one of the greatest rookie seasons that we've ever seen.
Yeah, well, Chris Dunn also has... two-time Pac-10 Defensive Player of the Year. He's a defense-first point guard who I think will be a great addition to our increasingly athletic front five, which, by the way, we are trading for Aaron Gordon, and then we'll have the freakish, most athletic front five of all time.
Yeah, that won't happen, but that's the dream. But, okay, I just want to make sure that we have facts, so these aren't just hot takes. Chris Dunn averaged 2 steals per game in Summer League.
And 3.
2.
3.
No, it's 2. Like, it's a number. It's not a subjective.
Yeah, we got injured halfway through a game. You would have had 7.
Okay. He had 2 and 7.5 fouls. It's a lot easier to get steals when you're able to foul people as well.
It's also easy to foul when there's no limit on how much you can foul. Of course he's going to foul. He'll do anything he can. He plays the system. He plays hard. He's got that competitive edge. He will destroy people because he's bigger, stronger, probably faster, and he's got that grit. He came from the streets. He made his way through the ranks. He is a beast. He is Russell Westbrook 2.0, except for the fact that he's going to develop a 3-pointer.
Okay. You need to counter fouls, because if you look at the best defenses ever, very clearly they don't foul. One of the things that made the Spurs so amazing last year and for years at defense is the fact that they don't foul. Not fouling is a key part of being a great defender. Okay? And I'm not saying that he doesn't have that potential, but I'm saying Summer League isn't this sign that he was this beast of a defender taking people's lunch money. And he only played 2 games. Now, I like Chris Dunn. I think he can be good. He was not my first pick because I felt that we needed a shooter. And I felt that Jamal Murray is a great shooter, has potential to be a great shooter, and Chris Dunn does not have a good shot. And he shot low free throw percentage for years, which is a better determiner of how you'll shoot 3-pointers in the NBA than 3-point percentage. And he shot decent from 3-point percentage his last 2 years. But I do not think Chris Dunn is a great shooter, and I thought that's what we would want next to Wiggins and Rubio.
Question. Do you want Russell Westbrook? Would you want him on our team for free?
Yes.
What if we have him already in Chris Dunn? What if he is
There's
Russell
no
Westbrook?
Chance.
No chance. He's got all the factors. He's athletic.
Not nearly as athletic.
He's
not
tall,
even close as athletic.
He's black, and he is a beast.
Okay. He's not nearly as athletic. Russell Westbrook is a freak. Did you watch Chris Dunn's dunks? Honestly, He cannot get up anywhere close to what Westbrook can.
Are you talking about Summer League?
Just, yeah, and two other dunks.
It's because he's trying not to be fancy. He's playing it cool. He's not showing all this stuff. He's only played two games in Summer League.
Yeah, and we're freaking out like he's the next coming of Russell Westbrook, which just isn't true. Chris Dunn could be a good player. He's not the next Russell Westbrook. He's also 22. He's far older than most people that came out of the draft. He's older than Westbrook, who only went to college for 2 years. And don't overreact.
He's actually older than Wiggins and Towns, which is kind of strange.
And Levine.
What about Summer League MVP Tyus freaking Jones? Crushing it. Here's what we know about Jones. He's a winner. He's the Tim Tebow of the NBA. He may be small. He may be somewhat under-athleticized, if that's a word. But Tyus Jones wins games. He's clutch. He knows how to play. He can pass. He can shoot. He could be the next Chris freaking Paul. Listen, this is what they all said about Chris Paul in high school. You know what Tyus Jones did that Chris Paul didn't do? Won the national championship. Led his team, scored 26 points in the final game, hit the game-winning shot. Who says he can't be Chris Paul?
I say he can't be Chris Paul, and so does every other NBA fan in the whole wide world.
What is Tyus Jones' ceiling? Do you think he could ever be a starting NBA point guard?
I think he has potential to be a starting NBA point guard. I think he probably won't reach that, but there's a chance. I've always believed in Tyus, and I hope we play him. I do think he has a game that is very well suited for Summer League in terms of the small change in athleticism does a huge favor for him. The small change in size does a lot for him. And I think he can be an effective NBA player. I even think at times, especially the second half of last season, he was an effective NBA player. And I want him to play.
So, problem here, we have a new point guard. We have Ricky, I'm always injured, Rubio, who can't shoot, who we both have loved since day one. But he's been horrible in international play. He's been often injured. Do we really believe Rubio is our point guard moving forward? Because we've got two solid point guards, potentially solid.
Yeah, we have one solid point guard, and we have two people who have potential to be good point guards. To make this decision of what we should do right now doesn't seem informed. We have time to figure things out.
But why wouldn't we have traded Rubio when his stock was higher than ever this summer? Why didn't we pull the trigger on something or throw him out there? Did we throw him out there?
It sounds like we did, but his stock isn't higher than ever right now. It's going to be higher than ever when the season starts, and the point guard teams who need point guards are going to be desperate for a point guard after this free agency crop is over with. That's when his stock's not going to just plummet after the season starts. It'll probably actually go up, especially if a team faces an injury or
who's
something.
Who's better,
like that.
Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine?
We've never seen Chris Dunn play a basketball game.
Who do you think's better?
I would say Zach LaVine right now.
Who has a higher ceiling?
Zach LaVine.
Who's a better defender?
Chris Dunn.
Interesting. Because that's the other piece. What if we play Chris Dunn at the two?
We can. That doesn't negate the ability of playing Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine also tends to play better with Rubio and Wiggs. He does better with our starters. Everyone says he should be the next Jamal Crawford, but he's most effective when he's playing with good players. And I think we get too hung up on that comparison of him being this awesome sixth man when he tends to do better in that starting role. Chris Dunn would be a great compliment, though. And even playing with Tyus Jones, because with Tyus Jones, you have a shooter, someone who's smaller and probably weaker on defense, is weaker on defense, not a good defender. But Chris Dunn, who can lock down, that seems like a great compliment. Where Rubio and LaVine fit well because you have offense and defense mix-matched there.
So we made some strange additions to our team, which I think makes zero sense. We added Cole Aldridge at a...
Coming back home.
Yeah, Mr. Hookshot, who we overpaid for.
Go through the list.
We've got Brandon Rush, who I'm all about adding former KU players to support Wiggs.
Yeah,
but he's washed up.
We got the big three, Cole Aldridge, Brandon Rush, and Andrew Wiggins.
And we have Jordan Hill, who I think is the most ridiculous pickup of all three of them, and should not be playing in the National Basketball Association. Why did we do any of these things? Defend these moves. Go.
Cole Aldridge was a really good NBA player last year. We got him for 3 years, $22 million. Cole Aldridge, of all these picks, is the one I look at and I'm like, that was a great pickup. Like, we got him for a steal.
But here's what's going to happen. It's going to be like every other big white guy. We're going to sign him to a monster deal like we do with Pekovic.
That's a small deal, especially compared to...
We're going
to
re-sign him, though, in 3 years. This is what we 30? Do.
No, he's not. You're being ridiculous. Okay. Let's look at his per 36 minute stats last year. And there's a lot more than just these stats because he was a defensive powerhouse. Okay. 59.6 field goal percentage. 71% from the free throw line. 13 rebounds. 2.3 assists, 2.1 steals, 3.1 blocks, 14.8 points per 36. Defensively, he was huge. In the wake of all the injuries that Clippers were facing, especially near the end of the season, Cole Aldridge played awesome. I have no idea why we would be upset with this pickup. It's not something that we needed. I look at it and I say, we don't need Cole Aldridge, but it was such a value pickup that I like it. And it gives us options to possibly trade Gorgie, who I love, and it just gives us more flexibility moving forward.
Don't buy it. Here's why. Next year's draft might possibly be the greatest draft since 2003. We're talking 10 dudes who may all become future All-Stars. Do we want to get in the Josh Jackson and get another KU player to support Wiggins? Do we want to get in that lottery? Or do we want to be good, win 38 games, whatever, maybe sneak into the playoffs? Is that what we want this year?
Yes.
Absolutely. No.
You want to tank?
Oh, my. Why not? One more year.
You're ridiculous.
Let all of our young guys play. Let them crash. Let them learn. Bust their stats. And then we get Josh Jackson, and the rebuild is complete.
Are you serious?
Why not?
Because... we need to develop our players. What are we going to do? Just not play Wiggins or Towns or LaVine or Rubio? Like, that would be such a serious tanking. One, it'd be such a jerk move to do. Two, tanking doesn't guarantee anything because the lottery. Three, Tibbs would never do it. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't really think we should tank. I'm just trying to pose a counter argument for signing three dingus players. Because let's talk about the other ones. Brandon Rush. Why do we have Brandon Rush? Why do we pick up Brandon Rush? Why do we need Brandon Rush?
We need another wing, and he can shoot three-pointers, which we desperately need. Brandon Rush actually is the best fit for us out of these three guys.
Then why Jordan Hill?
I don't know.
We signed two power forward contenders when we have Karl Anthony Towns.
Well, listen
to... Do we believe in Gorgie Dang?
Yes. Listen.
And we have Pekovic.
Okay,
where's Pekovic going to play?
No, listen to how many power forwards and centers we have. It's off the top of my head, but we have Belly.
Oh, yeah, the European sensation, MVP.
We have Belly, possibly Kevin Garnett.
Yes.
We have Gorgie Dang, Jordan Hill, Cole Aldridge, Karl-Anthony Towns, Nikola Pekovic. That's seven people, and there may be someone else I'm forgetting, over those two positions. And here's my one concern for our summer picks, is we drafted a lot of people. Jordan Hill can play some center, or has played a lot of center. Cole Aldridge is a center. Gorgie Dang is best at center. I really don't want us to try to make Karl-Anthony Towns into a power forward. His best future is as a center. I really believe his ability to stretch the floor and
now
just his ability to post.
Now you see my point. Cole Aldridge and Jordan Hill do not fit with the future of our future MVP.
Do you want to sign Gorgie Dang?
I think we should trade the heck out of him and get ourselves someone who can shoot the freaking ball.
Okay, so then we have a second center in Cole Aldridge if we trade Gorgie Dang. Cole Aldridge is a good signing.
Yeah, but he's, what, 29?
27.
Okay.
And he just had his best season ever. And centers tend to progress actually more when they get older.
So you think that Tibbs, head coach, GM, mastermind,
Scott Layden,
to trade Gorgie Dang.
I think he wants to have flexibility, and he looked at Cole Aldridge and said, this is an awesome deal. He's kind of taking a discount because he's coming back home, and that gives us can make us a better team this year and can give us flexibility. So now we can trade Gorgui Jang, which is sad. I love Gorgui. But Gorgui's probably going to get paid a lot more than we're going to want to pay. And so this is a great signing for us. Plus, I think a defensive center is probably more important looking at the tools we have offensively than Gorgui Jang.
Now, the funny thing is about our team is we were abysmal defensively last year. However, I would think we'd have the tools and the potential to be an amazing defense. Supposedly, Tibbs is known as a defensive coach, which many people would say he did a wonderful thing with Chicago. He reinvented defense in some ways. But my question is, with the abysmal defense of Team USA, Tibbs couldn't fix it. Is our defense unfixable?
I feel like we need to make sure we don't overreact to non-NBA things. Olympics, Summer League, all those kind of things have very little impact in predicting power on what we'll have in the NBA season.
That's debatable.
What was the question again?
Do you really think Tibbs can make us a better defensive team overnight?
Yes.
Overnight?
Overnight. I think
we'll go, what were we, 29th in the league?
I'm pretty sure we were last.
Last? What do you think we'll be next year?
I think next year we will be a top 15 defensive
team. Oh my goodness. I will place a $30 bet. That is not true.
Well, you still owe me $100 for my win total.
Earning it back. Earning it back.
Okay, we'll just keep this bet going. $30.
Deal. We will not be top. We will be 16th. That's my prediction.
Top 15, that is a very bold bet by me. But here's how I'm going to place that bet. Number one, we are going to have so much improvement from our players from last year in terms of defense. Karl Towns, rookie year, Karl Towns actually played great defense, which is crazy because rookies never play good defense. Karl Towns will come back and be a much better defender. Wiggins will be a better defender. LaVine will be a better defender. Everyone of our core that is young will come back and probably improve defensively. Not just because of Tibbs, but because of simple improvement and simple growth in your body. Number two, we had Sam Mitchell as our coach, okay? We had freaking Smitch. He's the one who let Kobe score 81 on them and still thought, we don't need to double team this guy. He's not going to do much to us, right? Now we have Tom Thibodeau, who is universally known as the innovator of modern defenses and how we guard pick and rolls, and probably and the best defensive coach in the world. People would claim him as. Number three, we signed Cole Aldridge and Chris Dunn, who are both defensively very gifted. And Chris Dunn's a rookie, so we don't know how he'll be, but it definitely seems like if he has a strength, it'll be defensively.
As a player, what is Chris Dunn's ceiling?
All-star? Ceilings are so hard. You could be an all-star, yeah.
Hall of Fame?
No.
Russell Westbrook?
No. All-star. What do you think? Why don't you think we will improve drastically, like I'm saying, defensively?
Because we were so bad last year. Like, so bad. And to expect a coach to come in 1 year completely transform our defense, I think is putting too big a lofty expectations. And I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm a believer yet. I want to believe. I don't even know what 15, moving up that much defensively, what that's going to do for our win-loss. I don't know for a 40-win team. I think we're probably a mid-30 win team.
I think we're a 40-win team.
You think we're a 40-win team?
We're going to make the playoffs next year.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I mean, that's the question. Are we going to take the OKC leap?
Yes, we will. I want to say one more thing about Tibbs. I don't want to move on from that yet. When he has come to a new team as head coach, or I think even assistant coach, there has been an average of about a 5 point per game less for opponent scoring in that first year coming there. All right? So when he comes there, there's dramatic increases in ability to play defense. That being said, we're also a young team. So that you would expect that curve to be even bigger because young people have more potential for change, more potential for getting better at defense.
Who do we see a bigger drastic jump from? Wiggins, Towns, or LaVine this year?
Wiggins. Wiggins is having the jump this year. I'm saying this strictly off of gut and there's not a lot of, like, legitimacy behind this claim, but I think this is the year for Wiggins to jump. He shot 40% from three after the All-Star break near the end of last season. This offseason, he's been living with Drew Hanlon, traveling everywhere. It looks like he's been working his tail off.
Who's Drew Hanlon, let him in?
Drew Hanlon, he's a trainer. He trains LaVine, too, and Jordan Clarkson, Joel Embiid, a lot of different players. He's just well-known. But from social media and from what Drew Hanlon's written about Wiggins, it seems like he's been working super hard. And the third year is often a big jump for players. And I thought Wiggins didn't have as big of a jump as you would expect last year, but I think this year is going to be a good year.
So you think Wiggins leads us in scoring next year?
Yeah.
Safe bet?
Yeah.
I mean, he jumped, what, 4 points last year? 5 points last year?
4 points.
He made another 4-point jump.
24 a game. LaVine's another safe bet for big increase because after the All-Star break, he played so much better than before. And because if he spends a whole year playing at his true position, that does a ton for him. Because at two, he plays so much better than at one. And playing with Rubio, he plays so much better as well.
Going back to our conversation about the wins, losses this year, it has been a long, long time since we could say we were a winning basketball team. My question for you is, what is your expectation, what is your hope for wins this year, wins and losses, and what are your playoff hopes?
My playoff hopes are to simply make it, and I think we will. I'm being an optimist last year I was more of a pessimist. But I think we can make the playoffs. I think adding Tibbs alone will be a dramatic increase, plus the increase of our players getting better, plus the draft, plus our offseason picks that are all net positives. And I think we will win somewhere in the low to mid 40s, and we will make the playoffs. And it'll be tough to see what teams will have to be out, but in the end of our season, our schedule is really tough. I think like 8 of our last 11 games are on the road, and we have a tough schedule, but we're going to pull it out. We're going to make that OKC leap.
So what's our wins?
Our exact win total right now?
Yeah.
44.
Wow. Real confident. I don't know if 44 even gets you into the playoffs. I am going to say the Minnesota Timberwolves are going to finish with 49 wins.
You were just telling me we weren't going to make the playoffs.
I was playing the devil's advocate. Here's the
deal.
Why
would you ever advocate the devil?
Hear me out. I think Dunn is better than anybody realizes. He's not going to be a statistical monster, but he is going to guard the heck out of people. I think we have a massive trade brewing. There are some teams who are win now. Cough, cough, Los Angeles Clippers. Cough, cough, the New York Knicks. Cough, cough, Chicago Bulls. And these teams are going to be willing to make some moves. Now, those teams I mentioned may have point guards, supposed point guards, but I think there's a team out there who is craving for a good point guard. Cough, cough, Orlando. They don't believe in Elfrid Payton. He's not the future. They need somebody who can get their young guys buckets. They want to see Mario scoring 30 points a game. Who is the one player who can do that? Ricky Rubio. Here's the deal. There is a massive trade brewing that I believe may involve a Ricky Rubio. Maybe it might even involve the high-flying Aaron Gordon. Can you imagine Zach LaVine, Aaron Gordon, and Andrew Wiggins on the same team, who almost just did a 720 dunk? Here's the thing. I don't think this team is a complete roster yet. And I don't think we need Ricky Rubio to make 49 wins. Oh. It's going to be messy. It's going to be sloppy. But I believe that this team is two moves away from getting a shooter and to getting one more power forward. Maybe it means moving Belly. I'm not sure yet. But we need someone who can actually shoot the ball in that two position to back up LaVine or to start in front of him, cough, cough, J.J. Redick.
Okay, we're not getting J.J. Redick. 49 wins, I actually don't think is impossible. But if we trade Rubio, it is absolutely impossible. I'm not totally against us trading Rubio at some point, but we are so much better with him on the court. If you look at us last year with him off the court, we were not nearly the same team. LaVine was not nearly as good. Wiggins was not nearly as good. And we were not nearly as good. Offensively or defensively. And I think Tyus and Chris Dunn have potential. But this year, if we want to make the playoffs, I have a hard time believing that our rookie point guard, Chris Dunn, who is a very old rookie, so he's actually projected by Kevin Pelton's models to have the best rookie season, not to be the best rookie, but to have the best rookie season. He's probably the most NBA-ready of anyone in this class. But I still don't think that's enough if we want to get 49 wins. I think Wiggins would be very important. And Aaron Gordon's great, but I don't think we're going to get him. But that's the dream.
We will see.
Would you trade Chris Dunn for Aaron Gordon?
Tit for tit?
Yeah.
No.
Why not?
Chris Dunn might be Russell Westbrook.
See,
Aaron Gordon might be a homeless man's Blake Griffin. But right now, we have no idea. We like him because of his pizzazz and his star power, but we do not know what he is going to be. And right now, we know Dunn has the potential to be Russell Westbrook.
Here's why Aaron Gordon's intriguing to me. Because he doesn't necessarily have star power. What he has is a fit that would go great with our team. He has potential to stretch the floor. He shot 29 to 30% from three last year. Which is an improvement from his year before. He has potential to be a floor stretcher. Number two, he's a great defender. Like, that's what he does really, really well, is defense. And with a team that has LaVine, Wiggins, and Towns, we don't necessarily need some offensive powerhouse, but we need someone who could complement them, which Aaron Gordon seems like he could do very well. And so I feel like he'd be a great fit for us. That being said, I don't know if I'd trade it because he already has 2 years. He's already 2 years into his contract, and I kind of like the longer contract of Dunn. But I would maybe do it.
I would not do it, and I don't think Tibbs would do it. I think Tibbs really does believe in the potential of Chris Dunn in that position. I do think Tibbs is going to want someone at the four who can play defense, and that's why I'm not so sure Belly's a long-term position. I think Belly may be a good trade value guy, seeing as that he is, what, 29?
Belly?
Yeah. 28?
Yeah, who wants Belly?
A stretch four from Europe. Everybody wants those guys.
We want Belly because he played a lot better at the end of the season, but I don't think he didn't have that great of a season. He's on an extremely good contract.
That's why he's tradable.
Yeah, but what are we going to get for him?
Someone who will actually play.
Belly will play. Belly's our best four.
Oh my gosh. Will Pekovic ever play the four? No. What do we
do with Pekovic? Pekovic, we just wait out until his contract's over.
We're paying him $12 million a year.
Yeah, sometimes you make mistakes. You don't try to justify those mistakes by paying the players. You suck it up and admit that you were wrong and just deal with it.
All right, we're going to go to our speed round. I'm going to ask you a series of questions, and you have to answer within 5 seconds. Are you ready?
Yes.
Timberwolves player most likely to get in trouble on Snapchat?
Shabazz Muhammad.
Timberwolves player most likely to lead us in scoring?
Andrew Wiggins.
Timberwolves player Tom Thibodeau will injure because he overplays him?
Andrew Wiggins.
Timberwolves player...
No. Ricky Rubio.
Who is most likely to be traded?
Ricky Rubio.
What are the odds of Cat making the All-Star team?
75%.
Odds of Wiggins doing the dunk contest?
10%.
Most likely to benefit from Tibbs?
Oh, Wiggins. That's part of the reason why I chose him to have the biggest jump.
Most likely to quit the team from Tibbs?
To quit the team, most likely... Oh, man. LaVine? Nobody's likely to quit.
Odds of LaVine...
Jordan Hill.
Odds of LaVine three-peating the dunk contest?
40%.
Odds of Dunn being Rookie of the Year?
25%.
Point differential versus the Warriors?
Negative 12.
How many times does Tibbs get ejected?
One. He seems happier than normal and... Yeah.
Odds of Tibbs getting a wife?
98%. I have a perfect person for Tibbs.
Oh my gosh. Who is it?
Stacy.
Stacy, yeah. Stacy's a good fit. She's going to be a very patient woman.
I almost said a real person, but then I got nervous. I listened to our podcast.
Yeah, good call. Well, good. I think that basically wraps it up for today. We're going to do a draft recap in the coming weeks. We're also going to be doing our Western and Eastern Conference power rankings. And continue to send in your questions. You can reach us at wolfbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. We will be doing a mailbag and a few other things coming up ahead. Thanks for listening. We are the Wolf Brothers.
Yeah. Oh, we need to say something. Remember we
said that? Oh, yeah. This is how we close every episode. On the count of three, we are going to say the first thing that comes to our mind. One, two, three. Durant's Westbrook.